And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience, our DDD devotional diamond of the day, how to love your enemy. Boy, I bet you're happy to hear about that one. How to love your enemy. Plus, do we love to be liked? Ooh, David Limbaugh, New York Times best-selling author. He's going to join us live to talk about his new book, The True Jesus. And then we're going to close with our Salem commentary, Commitment Over Feeling.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? What do you think? You know, people say, I never get to share my opinion. Well, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Remember, any topic is, of course, open for conversation, because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back, but stand by.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience, AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of White Fields Ministry. Since 1953, White Fields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to White Fields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Pastor Ray Bentley invites you to celebrate Easter with the family at Maranatha Chapel in San Diego.
He is risen just as he said.
Discover what Easter means.
It means that right here on earth, you can begin tasting and experiencing resurrection power.
And Pastor Ray welcomes a special music guest, Sarah Groves. Easter at Maranatha Chapel with Pastor Ray Bentley. Join us for a Good Friday service at noon, then four Easter services to choose from. Saturday evening at 6 and Sunday morning at 6:30, 8:30, and 10:30 with special music by Sarah Groves. Maranatha Chapel Easter weekend, April 14th through 16th. For details and directions, go to maranathachapel.org.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Couple things to tell you right off the bat. This segment brought to you by Whitefields Ministries. Our good friend Steve Wheeler on his way to Japan. Here's the deal with Whitefields. They're taking the gospel to the four corners of the earth. They are helping rural pastors with emotional, spiritual, educational, and financial support. When we say rural pastors, people think, oh, well, a nice church building out in maybe a large part of land where, you know, it's just the nice, the wind blows and everybody's, you know, beautiful little, you know, steeple. And these rural pastors are using leaves and lean-tos as buildings and roofs. And rocks as seats. That's what we're talking about. And we're talking about Whitefields Ministries helping clean drinking water throughout the territory for people that are using cesspools as drinking water. Not good. And we're talking about Whitefields Ministries networking left and right for ministries, missionaries, ministers, churches, all of the different parachurches groups, because the idea is for everybody to do a concentrated effort. It's one gospel, many of us trying to bring it somewhere further along in the process. That's kind of how we look at that. Go to whitefields.org, whitefields.org. That's their website. Whitefields comes out of the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 34, where Steve Wheeler gave a fantastic theological explanation for the name. We're going to get that on a commercial next. That's our big goal. All right, the other thing I do want to remind you of, don't forget about the Pastor's Masters Golf Tournament taking place May 8th at St. Mark's Golf Club. If you are a pastor and want to have some fellowship, lunch, special gift, awards, dessert, we want you to go to kprz.com and sign up. It's definitely worth it, especially if you're a pastor that needs to kind of get to know other pastors. That's kind of the goal there. And I don't know what that was. Was that a putt? Was that like a ball going in a hole? It sounds like a frog that fell down and landed on his head. Okay, that's better. Got it. School tuitions, don't forget that. Half-price tuitions. Go to kprz.com and click on the tuitions tab. See, there's a tab and it says tuitions. You click on that and it's half off. Now, how much is half off? Well, if you were going to buy a car for $20,000, half off would be $10,000. But it's not car dealership stuff because they don't, you know, take the prices and go, oh, we're going to elevate the prices. And then there's really no discount. It's not how it goes. The same price for us is the price that is on the school. We just give a 50% discount so the parent pays 50% less, but the school gets 100% in the equivalence for marketing. That's how we do it. It's pretty simple. All right. So we got a couple of cool things coming up. Bottom of the hour, David Limbaugh. Now, I've been going through the True Jesus book. He wrote a book called The True Jesus, Uncovering the Divinity of Christ in the Gospels. And we've had David on before, and I want to talk to him because he has really made a move from political books, which I've read in the past, into more Christian apologetics. And I'm kind of curious as to what's leading him that way. And I think it has to do with life mission. And so I'm interested to hear what he has to say and him sharing about the book. Be very exciting. And the book is excellent. I went through every single reference. He's got probably one of the more extensive references in the back of the book. And I kind of know all of these references because it's just kind of like a realm that I'm in. And he really went across denominational board all the way and really got a lot of great info, pulling up a lot of different stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. Let's get into what many consider to be a little tougher call in regards to the gospel requirements that Jesus Christ puts upon us to engage with. The title of this, and we're going to get to the sound in a second, the title is How to Love Your Enemies.
Dear enemy, I love you. Let me count the ways.
It's just brilliant. I can't believe they don't give you an award for that. That was really good. I like that.
Dear enemy.
That's really good. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 28. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 28. I love how people get all excited about Easter, but never seem to care what Jesus had to say. Wait, what? Anyhow, let's go into it. Luke chapter 6, verse 27, 28. Jesus said, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. Do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Are you listening? Are you a Bible-believing, born-again Christian? You got somebody in your life that's mistreated you? Uh-oh. You and Jesus are sitting down at Starbucks for coffee going over this portion, and he's just looking at you going, how you doing on this? Uh-oh. Look at what he says. Hey, here's how you're supposed to walk as reflective of the Father. You're supposed to love your enemies. Does that, by love your enemies, does that mean that you sanction their sin? No, that's not love. If my child was 9 years old and was stealing stuff, loving him is not saying, well, it's okay that you steal stuff because I love you. Love is me taking that child and helping that child rearrange his thinking process or her thinking process and enforcing discipline so they don't exhibit behavior that will destroy their lives. That is love. Love's not some feeling in the sky. Oh, it's just a feel. No, we'll get to feelings in a little bit. That's not what this is. Love is a decision. Contrary to popular cartoon people that make all these kind of statements, love is a decision to act in a certain behavior, in a certain way, in a certain manner. Love doesn't ignore the evil. Love sees the evil and pushes past the evil. But love does not accept sinful behavior because that's not love at all. That's compliance. So Jesus gives you, did you get that? That's compliance. So Jesus gives you three things to do for people that you need to love. I don't like any of them, but I pray to do them regularly. He says this, do good to those who hate you. My problem is I can't track them all down. I can't do good to everyone because I don't know them all. The problem there is that I'm supposed to be doing good. Yeah, failing in that one. Then he says this, bless those who curse you. This I can do because I understand how to bless somebody from a distance. When you're praying for them at a distance, I can say, Lord, bless them. That's not hard. But I think this has to do with more of being a blessing to those who curse you than praying a blessing from God. Because you don't really have to engage with them when you're praying to God. You're like going, oh, Lord, bless that person who's really kind of not nice. That's not a lot. However, if somebody you really don't like is in the close proximity of you and you're buying dinner for people, buying dinner for them too, that would be blessing them. See that difference? So nice try, but not exactly. And then the last one, of course, people can do on an easy basis, and this is where this one does come, and pray for those who mistreat you. Now, you have to understand that you're not just going, oh, help that person. You're actually praying for their benefit, and this is people that treat you like garbage. The last thing you want to do in the presence of God is bring up somebody who makes you feel like garbage, treats you like garbage. Yet, from a scriptural point of view, people that are bad to you, people that are not good to you, people that don't reflect the things that they ought reflect, people that maybe don't understand the concept of loving your neighbors and loving yourself, these are the people you're supposed to pray for. And by the way, it says pray for them and not against them. So you got a whole bunch of people on the right. I'm going to just be honest about this. The conservative side of things. And when Barack Obama was the president, they weren't praying for Barack Obama. They were praying against him. Well, that doesn't say do that. That's not where that comes in. You're not supposed to pray against them. You're supposed to pray for them. And the greatest thing you can pray is that they draw close to God, because that's the greatest thing you can pray for yourself. So that's the track. So here are three things you can do. You can do that we're supposed to do. We can do good. Okay. We can bless, and that's really not at a distance. And we can pray for them. And one thing that I have learned from other ministers, which I think is a really valid point, and that is when you pray for somebody, you do take on a little bit different attitude about their success or about them doing better because you've engaged with them in prayer and you'd like to see those prayers answered. It's like, I get that. I understand that. I want to do that. I love that. We got to do good for people that are not the best. We got to bless them, and we got to pray for them, because that's what Jesus wants us to do. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back for more. Don't go anywhere.
When I was younger, so much younger than today.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
The American historian and philosopher Will Durant, along with his wife Ariel, wrote an exhaustive 11-volume history of civilization. In his sunset years, he made this observation: 60 years ago, I knew everything. Now, I know nothing. Education is a progressive discovery of our own ignorance. That reminds me of the Apostle Paul's experience. As a young Pharisee, he thought he knew everything. But when he met Christ, he realized he knew little of what was truly important. And he made knowing Christ his lifelong goal. God is an infinite subject, and those who truly know him readily admit how much more they have to learn. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God for a lifetime on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him.
When Da'ai Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was,
"I will never believe your God and change my religion."
But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
This is Hugh Hewitt for townhall.com. The pulling of the GOP health care bill last week was a big loss, but President Trump had very good reason to shake off the rebuff from the Freedom Caucus, and he was loyal to House Speaker Paul D. Ryan, as was Ryan to Trump. That bodes well for the party and for governing over the next 18 months. What doesn't bode well is the shared decision of the president and the speaker to advance next on tax reform, with its twin political death traps of abolition of the home mortgage interest deduction and of state and local income tax deduction. I hope for a loss on those issues, those Beltway holy grails not sought by many, if any, outside of the Beltway. A corporate tax cut, yes. Tax simplification, yes. But not two big intra-party squabbles and crack-ups in a row, please. Better to go for infrastructure, including the border wall, and best of all, the fulfillment of the promise of a 350-ship Navy and of the general defense buildup that needs to surround that singular Trump goal. I'm Hugh Hewitt.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. This segment brought to you by our very good friend Sam Rasool. Sam is the man. Now, if you're thinking real estate, you want to talk to somebody who understands where the market is going as best as anybody can. Now, nobody wakes up, you know, today and can tell you what the market's going to do in 12 months. We don't even know if 12 months the Lord's going to tarry. It'll all be over. You wouldn't have to worry about it, right? In the meantime, if you're pursuing real estate, get in touch with Sam. You might as well work with somebody who's a brother in the Lord who knows the biz. Pretty simple. And the thing about Sam, if you buy or sell something through Sam, he takes 25% of his commissaroo. I don't know how many times I can use commission in different phrases, but commissaroo is a good one.
Anyway, he takes 25% of that and gives it to whatever church or ministry you desire. Additionally, if you need help on your house, he will forward up to $25,000 for you to fix up your house so that you can sell your house faster. He takes the money back out at the close of escrow, doesn't charge interest, just a good service, period. You want to go to thinksam.com, thinksam.com. See, there's three components there, maybe four components. ThinkSam.com. There you go. You can also call them 858-780-1SAM. 858-780-1SAM. By the way, Sam did tell me, if you're having some questions about refinancing and so on and so forth, he works with all the people like in San Diego County. You can always talk to him. He's not going to charge you just to talk to him and say, hey, what do you think of this person? How do you think of this? Is this cool? You know, nothing wrong with that. 858-780-1-SAM. And if it's not you, but it's somebody you know, then Tugboat Todd and I say together,
send him to Sam.
There we go. You know, we have not practiced that outside. Believe that? We've not had lessons. Remember that guy on American Idol when he did that and he sang the song? And one guy, and then he goes, he turns to the judges. He goes, I haven't had any lessons. It's like
the one that the shebang.
Yeah. Like so, I'm just saying, he did it. He goes, I haven't had any lessons. Like, you're like going, no, get out. Anyway, let's get into our DDD devotional diamond of the day. Okay. See that from a jewelry point of view? Devotional diamond of the day. All right. The title of this one, we're going to get the music in 5 seconds. The title, Love to be Liked.
And I can't deny the fact that you like me right now. You like me.
That's so funny. What movie is that from? Is that from Sally something, whatever?
It's Sally Fields, except in her Oscar award.
That they like her. Okay, let's get to the DDD. Amazing how that stuff goes. Love to be liked. Luke chapter 6, verse 26. Tugboat Todd and I were talking about this. How many people think it's super important to get likes on Facebook? Do you? You one of those people? You need to get liked on Facebook, right?
Yeah, sometimes.
Like, you want to get liked and you send them out to a whole bunch of people. I mean, I get some from all over the world. Some that I should not get. So somehow I'm on a media list or something. They send me stuff from like all over the world, and it's like, really? Really? You know, and there's too much, though, of a need for some people to be liked, isn't there?
I agree, yeah.
Oh, let's find out how far Jesus took that. Luke chapter 6, verse 26, woe to you. Anytime I read scripture and it says woe, I'm concerned. Woe to you when all men speak well of you. For their fathers treated the false prophets in the same way. Uh-oh. What do you mean, woe unto you? Again, anytime you hear woe, okay? Isaiah's horse, many people thought was woe because he kept saying, you know, woe is me. You know, it's like, no, it's not. That's not how that works. Woe is a bad thing. I guess we would maybe interpret woe as or nope, or bad idea. So Jesus says, when all men speak well of you. Now, this is a trait that many people walk in, Christian and non, but let's really be truthful about this. This is a trait that politicians walk in more than anybody you might know. This is a trait for people that have a need to be acknowledged and accepted. So they go so far as to, and it's not like I've never done this, but they go so far as to placate in order to get, you know, an even hand of praises so that everybody likes them. Here's the problem. When all speak well of you, it's really reflective of us seeking to get praise from everybody. We're not looking for specific genres or specific groups or specific cultures in praise. We're looking for praise from everybody. And that's bad. Wait. And you might say, why? Why is that bad?
Didn't everybody like Jesus? Yep, they all liked him so much they crucified him. That's how much they liked him. So, no, the answer is they did not all like Jesus. Did every person who heard Jesus who wasn't a Pharisee, did they all like them? No. Like him? No. Even his disciples, when he started saying what they call the harder sayings, walked away from being disciples of Jesus Christ. Not just the Pharisees, but everybody who was in authority and power who rejected him, and everybody who wasn't in authority and power who rejected him, they all did not think highly of Jesus because they did not stay with Jesus. He wasn't good enough to stay with. So they go back to the question and say, well, again, Dave, why is it bad if everybody speaks well of you? Why isn't that okay to be at work and want everybody to think you're just the best? I'll tell you why. Jesus says why. Because that makes you a people pleaser. That's it. You're living to please people. And if you're living to please people, there's a couple things you need to be aware of. When certain people in the temple in John, the Gospel of John, it talks about these people in the temple were seeking to be acknowledged and to please all the people around them, that became so important they rejected Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You can get so caught up in pleasing people, you reject Jesus. And that, my friends, is an eternal problem. Now, let's go to the Christian who accepts and acknowledges and receives, John chapter 1, verse 12, Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and afterwards, people's opinions of them become so powerful that they become spiritually unfruitful being people pleasers. Do you want to know who was looking to look good in the eyes of everybody? Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 12. The end result, because they were trying to impress everybody with their fake position of giving so they could seem like they were better givers than they actually were, the end result, God killed them. Change it. That's what the book says. I'm not changing that or softening that. God took them out because they were trying to be something they weren't, not for God, but for the people they were with. So making us a people pleaser, trying to be a people pleaser, that's not a good position because that makes us, opposite direction for pleasing God. When you're a people pleaser, and I've done it before and you've done it before and we get caught up in those situations, but when we're not aware of it, we're being people pleasers, we're not God pleasers. I didn't say people servers. You should be a people server, but you shouldn't be a people pleaser. And there's a difference between serving people because you're a Christian and looking for their praise versus God's praise. And then Jesus does this horrifying thing at that moment. He compares that to people who accept false prophets. And the false prophets are the people pleasers saying false things. Bad, 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 bad. Be a God pleaser, not a people pleaser. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760- 846-8610 and donate today.
The greatest and most thrilling fact of human history is the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Billy Graham,
The New Testament teaches from one end to the other that Christ indeed is risen from the dead. Apart from the resurrection, the cross is a tragedy and a defeat. If Christ's bones lie decayed in a grave, then there's no good news, and life has no meaning.
But there is good news. Jesus Christ died on a cross, and then he rose from the dead. And if you surrender your heart to Jesus, he'll give you a new eternal life. It's called being born again.
What does it mean to be born again? To repent of your sins, to receive Christ as Savior by faith, and then to follow him in obedience. And the Holy Spirit will come to live in your heart to give you a brand new life. It could happen now.
Ready to follow Jesus? Check out our website, findpeacewithgod.net, from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. No catchy radio jingle here, just me asking for the opportunity to earn your business. I've been a top-selling realtor here in San Diego for over 2 decades, having sold homes all over the county. I'll give 25% of my commission back to a ministry of your choice. I've already given thousands to Turning Point, San Diego Rescue Mission, and Samaritan's Purse, just to name a few. I'll even front any home fix-up costs at no charge to you. As a former Muslim and now Christian, I put God first personally and professionally. If you or someone you know is considering buying or selling a home, just meet with me. You have nothing to lose. I'll even share my testimony and give you a copy of my book. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM. That's 858-780-1SAM. Or visit me online for all your real estate needs, thinksam.com. That's thinksam.com. God bless.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian
Jesus,
station.
Jesus, there's something about that name.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. My next guest has been on the show before with a prior book. I'm very excited to talk to him about this book. I've seen a couple of the interviews that he's done, and this book is a great apologetic book on Christology, and I'm hoping that people will really enjoy this. First and foremost, let's welcome back to our show David Limbaugh. David, how are you doing, sir?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Excellent book, by the way. Big props for writing
Thank
the true
you.
Jesus, uncovering the divinity of Christ in the Gospels. I know they give me a list, and I know you know they give a list for us to ask questions, but if you remember from the last time you were on the show, I rarely look at that list.
So, no, that's good. That's good.
Because I like to get from you as the author, you know, kind of where it was going and what you were thinking. So let's just talk about at the core level, you know, for the purpose of writing this book, what was the big goal you were trying to accomplish in writing the true Jesus?
Well, I started out, I wanted to write a primer, a survey, an introduction to the New Testament. And as I got into it, I realized that I could not cover it adequately with sufficient depth. So I asked the publisher, Gregory, if I could narrow the focus to just the Gospels, because the Gospels are where you see the living Son of God and you encounter him. And you sit at his feet and hear his teachings, and you watch him, and you observe his behavior and his authoritative teaching and his empathy for human beings, and you see his declaration of divinity and why he led the Jewish authorities to want to crucify him, because he was, in fact, claiming to be God, because he is God. And so I want his divinity and his full humanity to jump off the pages of my book. And the book is a compendium of the four Gospels in a consolidated account, not attempting to be a harmony, which you can't totally do, and in a roughly chronological form. The ultimate goal, and with a running commentary, the ultimate goal is I want to inspire people to read the Gospels and the Bible for themselves.
All right. That's an excellent and what a worthwhile goal, too, because when people encounter reading the Gospels, they have that opportunity to encounter that living relationship with Jesus Christ. How did you go? Because in your past, you had more of a political type of writing system. And then lately, you've really gone into the core of the faith, which for me, I love that because being a Christian, I like some politics, but I like scriptural stuff just much more. How did you make that move? Was it just something the Lord put on your heart?
Well, yes, I always, when I first became a Christian 25 or so years ago, I wanted to write a book. I even started a book on the Bible because I was so inspired that I wanted to share my enthusiasm. And I tried it, and it didn't really get anywhere. It didn't have a platform. And so after I become a syndicated columnist and have established a bit of a platform for almost 20 years and had written five books that did fairly well, I felt like I would jump back into it and fulfill my dream. And so I did that, and I wrote Jesus on Trial, and that did well. And then the Emmaus Code, which also did well. And now I'm on my third Christian-themed book. Yeah, I have a passion and a heart for it, so that's what I'm pursuing. It's no more complicated than that, to be honest. I've always wanted to do it since I became a Christian.
Yeah, but that's great because it's always been inside of you. It's never something you've let go, and it's something that the Lord's continually fostered in you and probably even helped you develop to write better as you wrote the previous books to give you an ability to even write better when you were getting into the Kingdom book. So I think that's awesome.
No, I totally agree with you on that. I certainly hope that's the case.
Yeah, no, it's great, and it's a fantastic book. And I'm one of those weird people that not only do I read the book, but I also go back into your notes. I find stuff like that fascinating, but I'm a little bit of a nut, so that would probably explain that. Yeah. So tell me, as you wrote it, because you it's not like you were unfamiliar with the gospel. It's not like you didn't understand, and you were trying to help other people bridge the gap. But while you go through that process, inevitably you find things that the Lord teaches you that maybe you didn't know. What did you come across that you were like, you know, I did this book, I didn't really catch this? What was the big catch?
Mine is more of an overall epiphany rather than a specific fact or a specific story, because I've read it so many times. But I'd always before preferred the epistles or the letters because they are more theological and they explain what the meaning of the gospel and significance is. And that's kind of the way my mind works. And this time when I immersed myself in the gospels for the purpose of making them intelligible to readers, I got really into it and realized that in no place else in the Bible can you truly encounter Christ himself. You read what others say about him, no less a authority than Paul, the Apostle Paul, and others, James, Peter. But with the Gospels, you sit at Christ's feet. You walk with him along the roads, and you sit at his feet and hear his teachings, and you watch him perform miracles, and you are observe that he exudes divinity from every fiber of his being, and he speaks authoritatively like no one ever spoke. And he is such a unique figure, so sublime that no fiction writer could have concocted this figure. And that becomes clear if you read the Gospels with an open mind and heart. Not that I hadn't done that before, but it became more profound for me as I really studied. And I don't know about you, but anytime I take on a project, I have to study it. I have to focus my mind much more because it's not just whatever level I have to understand. I have to understand it at a deeper level in order to convey it to other people. And so studying and writing books really focuses your mind. And as a result of that, the benefit, the great benefit, selfish benefit to me was having a profounder impact. The Gospels having a profounder impact on me than they had had before.
Wow. Excellent answer. That is really great, David. I mean, that's a solid. I mean, you just tell the Lord's working in you, using you, but working in you at the same time. So that's a great, great element. So I always ask one question that has nothing to do with the universe. And I got to ask you this one. And it's just something I noticed. But in the Bible references, there's a lot of ESV, English Standard Version. Any particular reason you like that? Or it's just the flavor? You know, I mean, I'm just curious.
You know, a lot of people I trust really like the ESV translation, and I don't purport to be enough of a scholar to pick which is the best. I do like it, and I've been using it for a while, and I wanted to have in my previous Christian books, I wasn't as consistent. I wanted this to be consistent, so I wouldn't have to cite every time. This one's NIV, this is a. I wanted it to be uniform throughout. I think there's only one reference to the NIV, and it was concerning Genesis 3:15, because I like the way it is worded, and it's worded better to make the point I want to make, but I specifically cited. Every other case is ESV. The truth is, to be totally honest with you, and I hate to be honest because I like to lie in interviews, but I probably, in retrospect, like the NIV overall better. But I truly believe this is a legitimate translation, a very, very honorable translation, very accurate, biblically based, textually based translation. I think the NIV might be a little easier to understand for the common person. So I think I might go back. I've been reading the ESV for 5 years. I think I might go back to the NIV, just to be totally candid with you.
There's nothing wrong with that. Here's what's so funny about this, because I'm a multi-version guy. So I've read I read the New Testament in 35 different translations. Because to me, it's like really important. But what's funny is I'm doing my master's in theological study, and for the study part, my theology, I'm using the ESV because it communicates the theology better.
Yes,
so your answer is just like, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. That's amazing. I love that. That's fantastic. All right, two more questions. We'll keep them real easy. The first question is, you know, in this book, one of the things that's really important that people understand, and I know in the interviews you brought it up in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, that people have this fairy tale mindset when it comes to Jesus. They have this thing where he's walking around in sandals with a peace sign, and he's taking flowers and putting them in the end of guns, and he's just like going, cool, peace, man, peace. And it's like, that does not reflect Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, does it?
No, he's absolute truth with a capital T. Jesus is the truth. He laid down the most exacting moral standard ever laid down in the Sermon on the Mount and elsewhere. Be perfect as your Father is perfect. He was not tolerant of sin, and he chided the Pharisees for being externally righteous but internally corrupt. So he doesn't suffer fools gladly, but he's completely forgiving, though. Completely forgiving, completely compassionate, but he doesn't want us, doesn't play games with the moral standard. Just because we can't live up to the standard doesn't mean we abandon the standard. And so many liberals say, well, you hypocrites, you sin all the time, so why are you demanding that we live up to this phony standard? Because it's God's standard, and we're supposed to aspire to live up to it. But since we can't live up to it, by the way, on our own, and we can't be perfect as our Father is perfect, we have to rely on the finished work of Christ so that we will be imputed with his righteousness, be declared righteous, so that when the time comes for judgment, God will look at us, and when he sees us for judgment purposes, he won't see us at all, because Jesus Christ will be in front of him, and he'll see Jesus Christ's perfection, and that will be attributed to us for judgment purposes as long as we have placed our saving faith in him. And so there is no contradiction. Christ doesn't say there's other ways to eternal life. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He doesn't say, but if you prefer to go the route of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, that's okay. It may take you a little longer. You can get there. We all believe the same thing. No, we don't believe the same thing. It's not a matter of a theology exam. It's not a matter of what you believe intellectually, although what you believe intellectually is pivotal. It's a matter of whether you place your saving faith in Christ once you understand the propositional truths of Christianity. So that's the only way to Christ, and he was the only way to salvation into the kingdom, and he was very clear about that. And to the extent that we mince words about that, we're doing a disservice to people whose eternal destiny hangs in the balance.
Yeah, another excellent answer. I mean, that's just a great way to say what many people have been trying to say. It's a great way for somebody to take what you just said and summarize it. That is, in fact, the truth, and that's why you wrote the book, The True Jesus. Last question, because I just want to keep it simple. I know you're in the middle of the tour. I know it's a big deal, and we're talking about Easter, but I also know that a person like yourself is always walking with the Lord, kind of looking down the road, just curious if we can get a hint, and you don't have to, what may be next after The True Jesus, uncovering the divinity of Christ in the Gospels. Do you kind of have another project in the works?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I want to follow up, since I wanted to do the whole New Testament, and that became unfeasible in the course of things. I want to keep going. I want to start with Acts next, the book of Acts, the history of the early church, and then the epistles. And again, I don't know how far we'll get. The ambition is to get through the rest of the New Testament. I don't know how feasible that is. We'll see. There's no reason to stick to it irreversibly if it doesn't work out. But yes, I want to ultimately complete the New Testament and try to make that better understandable to the uninitiated and allow those initiated to go deeper. And again, with the ultimate goal of inspiring them to read the Bible for themselves.
Well, when you get into the book of Acts, you are more than welcome to come back here and talk about the book. It would be our privilege and honor, our honor to have you. And I want people to know you can pick up The True Jesus, Uncovering the Divinity of Christ in the Gospels on Amazon. It is a top-notch, excellently researched book, and I encourage people to go out there and get it. It will definitely be a blessing whether you're seasoned or have yet to go into the season. So I want to thank you, David, for taking the time to come and visit with us.
David, I really appreciate it. You're a great interviewer. You really are unique and bring out a lot of great points. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. You've got to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Pastor Ray Bentley invites you to celebrate Easter with the family at Maranatha Chapel in San Diego.
He is risen just as he said.
Discover what Easter means.
It means that right here on earth, you can begin tasting and experiencing resurrection power.
And Pastor Ray welcomes a special music guest, Sarah Groves. Easter at Maranatha Chapel with Pastor Ray Bentley. Join us for a Good Friday service at noon, then four Easter services to choose from, Saturday evening at 6 and Sunday morning at 6:30, 8:30, and 10:30, with special music by Sarah Groves. Maranatha Chapel Easter weekend, April 14th through 16th. For details and directions, go to maranathachapel.org.
Because of God's love, we are never truly alone.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Amy Peterson. Does having a friend nearby make pain more bearable? Well, researchers at the University of Virginia conducted a fascinating study to answer that question. They wanted to see how the brain reacted to the prospect of pain, and whether it behaved differently if a person faced the threat of pain alone, holding a stranger's hand, or holding the hand of a close friend. Researchers ran the test on dozens of pairs and found consistent results. When a person was alone or holding a stranger's hand while anticipating a shock, the regions of the brain that process danger lit up. But when holding the hand of a trusted person, the brain relaxed. The comfort of a friend's presence made the pain seem more bearable. Jesus needed comfort as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew what he was about to face, betrayal, arrest, and death. He asked his closest friends to stay and pray with him, telling them that his soul was overwhelmed with sorrow. But Peter, James, and John kept falling asleep. Jesus faced the agony of the garden without the comfort of a hand to hold. But because he bore that pain, we can be confident that God will never leave or forsake us. Jesus suffered so that we will never have to experience separation from the love of God. His companionship makes anything we endure more bearable. You can access the daily devotional wherever you go with the Our Daily Bread mobile app. Visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you Crawford, joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Big shout out to David Limbaugh. Did an excellent job in that interview. Very, very happy. The first time Dave and I got together on an interview was his prior book, and we had a kind of a much more difficult connection issue. So this time I was super happy because you can hear him and everything was great. And I think he enjoyed it. And it was a great blessing. And I really do encourage you to pick up this book, The True Jesus, Uncovering the Divinity of Christ in the Gospels. Let's be honest. I'm not getting paid for this. It's not a pay thing. I'm telling you, this book will help you process into the Gospels. And if you've heard this show for more than 5 minutes ever, you know how important that is. This book will help you make that step. And I am so excited that he's going to be going into Acts. And then he's going to go from Acts into the Pauline epistles. And then he's going to go into the general epistles. And if time permits and the Lord blesses him, he'll be able to do the book of Revelation. And that's some great, great material for people to access the Word of God. So I'm super, duper excited. Let's get in. We only got about 2.5 minutes or so. So let's get into what we are calling, for the first time, our Salem Commentary, Commitment Over Feeling. And it seemed that it was all so simple then. Oh, has time rewritten every line? If we had the chance. All righty.
She actually never says feelings in that song.
She never really says, could we do we? I know it's like that line right there, right? Where she goes, could we, would we? Something like that. Anyway, the reason I'm bringing this up is because every once in a while, Salem has a fantastic commentary, and you got to respond to it. This one comes from Michael Medved. I think I've quoted Michael like 2 or 3 times in the last 4 years. Here's what he said. Profound changes in the institution of matrimony go far beyond the push for same-sex marriage. After many years as a clinical psychologist, Dr. Diane Medved notes a shift in marital priorities from commitments to feelings. Do your duty has been replaced with follow your heart. Can I explain something to you? Commitment is supposed to take precedent over feelings. If it were not so, then sometimes when you have a wayward child, you would not endure and be a good parent. Could you imagine if we based parenting on feelings versus commitment, how many more children would be parentless? That is not the right philosophy. That is a selfish philosophy that says, my feelings are the most important thing there is. Well, that just means you're selfish. You don't understand God in any capacity and have no capacity to love beyond yourself. Commitment, decision-making, love by choice and by decision-making is the most powerful statement and reflection of God that there is. It's not that you don't have feelings, but in your train of life, when feelings are the first car in the train, you are going to crash. It's a commitment, marriage. It's a decision, marriage. It's a sacrifice and a working with. And all you have to do is reflect on your relationship with God and his commitment to you to understand how powerfully true that is. We're going to take our short break, then come back. We got a special hour coming up the next hour. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. You'll hear Marty. Then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.